Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Now, a voice well known to many of you, broadcaster and wedding celebrant Ruth Scott is with me today in studio. Ruth, good afternoon. How
Hello
are you?
Hello there. It's great to see you.
Yeah, you too. I know we've talked many times over the phone, but I've never actually properly met you, as they say. Get a face to the name and all of that, you know.
In person, me and my lizard-like scaliness here today.
Well, not at all now, but no, well, funny you say that, because I was looking at your social media one day and you had put up a post on your Instagram about your experience of dealing with and living with psoriasis.
Yeah.
And that's why you're here to chat to us today. How long have you had it?
I have had it on and off since I was about 15 years old. And you know, they say that different things can cause it to start. Sometimes they say it's genetic. I don't know what kicked it off in me when I was 15, but I got it then and there was no real, like, this is, so I'm 50 now. So what's that, 35 years ago? Mm. There was no real medicine around that was going to sort it. And then on and off, I'd have it for years, little bits on my elbows, little bits on my legs. It would clear. It might come back. My scalp, I've kind of had it on and off of my scalp for a while. That's mostly manageable because you can put in horrible smelly cream at night, wash it out the next day. But I found in the last couple of months, oh, and actually, I should say, 7 years ago, I got married. I remember sitting in the bath the night before the wedding to soften my skin. And sorry if you're having your lunch while this is happening, but I literally had to slough the dead skin off my arms so that I could wear my wedding dress the next day and not have like
such is the impact.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm not that self-conscious. God knows, I've worked in radio long enough that I've developed a thick enough skin and even thicker now. It's just gone really bad over the last couple of months. It's all over my legs, my torso. My face, it was the worst it's ever been on my face. It's in my ears, it's in my scalp, it's in my groin, my armpits. I think the only place I don't have it is my mouth, nostrils and eyeballs.
Really, yeah.
Yeah, in varying. And look, I totally realise there's plenty of people with a lot worse and plenty of people with a lot worse psoriasis than this. Mine is lots of sort of dots and blobs, centimetre wide, 2 or 3 centimetres wide. I know that sometimes people get it in huge patches. Mm. It's really annoying.
Of course it is.
Now that I have it at this stage of my life, it's bloody itchy. And I'm using, you know, the plainest unscented moisturiser, no strong soaps on the skin. And I'm still like a mad woman scratching some of the time. And I'm trying to look nonchalant as I'm scratching my head during the summer when it's warm. It can just get really annoying.
Yeah.
And now I'm at the stage where I'm like, bloody hell, like if I wear a skirt or if I want to, like if I'm going to a black tie thing and I'm wearing a dress with a bit of a slit, I'm all purple, red blotches on my legs. And I kind of don't mind. But on the other hand, I know myself, if I saw somebody that was covered in a kind of a scaly rash, I'd be like, oh my God, what has she got? I don't want to catch it. It's not contagious, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
But I know myself, if I saw somebody, I might think that. And so I'm now uncomfortable with it. I started going to the GP, who will give you certain creams, steroid creams to put on, much more gentle than they would have been 15 years, 30 years ago. Then it just wasn't shifting it. So currently I'm getting light therapy. You're going to ask me about that and I'm going to be honest and say I don't really know. It is very scientific. Can I tell you, I started 2 weeks ago.
So you'd probably try it. I'm sure you've tried everything,
listen,
Ruth, at this stage.
If you told me put pigeon feathers in my hair and you should clear it, I'd do it. But the first time I went in for this phototherapy, I was in there for 20 seconds. So they do all the checks and everything and they give you a sun sensitivity test and then it's all your clothes off into what looks like but is not a standing sunbed.
Yeah.
And you stand in, you're like a porn model. I'm imagining, like, you're all, it's all there. It's quite undignified. Do you know?
And has it helped in any way now?
It has started.
Has
I can
it?
See
okay.
it starting to, lucky listeners won't have to look at my legs. I showed them to Andrea just there a minute ago. But like, it feels, and it's done in a very dignified way, but it does feel very undignified to be standing there, naked, legs spread, arms up. I was in it for the first day for 20 seconds. And that was enough. So for people who might think, oh, I'll get in a sunbed, it'll make it better. I wouldn't be going down that path.
No, and obviously you've been to a lot of doctors and consultants over the years and
100%.
Got advice on what to do. Just on that, actually, Professor Brian Kirby is with us. Brian's a consultant dermatologist at St. Vincent's University Hospital in Dublin. Like, Brian, psoriasis is it's quite common, isn't it?
That's correct. It's about somewhere between 2-3% of the population. And it's estimated about 1 in 5 of those people have what we call moderate to severe disease, which sounds like what Ruth is going through at the moment.
Yeah. And what causes, you know, flare-ups at various different stages, Brian?
Well, overall, we probably don't know, but there are certain things that are well described. Infections can make it worse. Sore throats, flu, COVID, for example, makes it worse in about 25% of people. big stresses, so big life events can make it worse as well. And again, that's been pretty well documented in the scientific literature. But then the problem is then you reach a certain level where the psoriasis starts to add to your stress. And then you can imagine people being in a vicious circle. So something bad has happened to them and their psoriasis got worse. And then it contributes to the stress. And you go round and round in a vicious circle, as I said.
Do you ever cure it, or do you just, you know, learn to sort of keep it at bay, Brian?
Well, cure is a strong word for anything, if you think about
true,
it.
Yeah.
You can cure sore throats. But what we do say is that people can be, their psoriasis can be managed. And the goal for modern management of psoriasis is that people would be clear or almost clear, that they would have minimal skin disease left at a course of treatment, such as the lice that Ruth is going on, and that it's maintained that way. So that's what the goal of treatment is. And in 2024, the vast majority of people can achieve that goal, either with ultraviolet light, either with topical therapies, or either with certain medications that are available. So while it's not cured, it can certainly, a bit like somebody with asthma can't be cured, but their asthma is well controlled with inhalers in the majority of people. We have people who are asthmatics who ran the Dublin City Marathon just last week. So we would expect, and we would hope for people, that we would have their skin clear or almost clear and maintain it that way.
Probably a lot of trial and error, Ruth, was it, over the years for you?
There was. And do you know what? And I'm sure Brian will attest to this as well. So many people make suggestions and so many of them are really bad ideas. Like cut out entire food groups, go on sunbeds. These are not things that I want to be doing. But Brian, I imagine you see a lot of people who have tried those kind of things, believing that, well, I'll try anything if it works. And they could be quite damaging.
Absolutely. And skin disease is interesting that everybody has an opinion on it. I wouldn't tell somebody how to do their taxes because I wouldn't know anything about it. But everybody tells people how to manage their psoriasis or their eczema. It's just, I think it's part of our culture. And I think a lot of people are very well meaning with this. And the issues are that removing specific pieces from your diet doesn't work. And that's been shown. So it's not a lack of something in your diet or too much of anything in your diet. And changing your diet dramatically isn't going to help specifically. Sunbeds are a really important point, Ruth, that you mentioned earlier. Sunbeds produce a wavelength of light called high-dose ultraviolet A. And high-dose ultraviolet A is good at giving you a tan and really very good at giving you skin cancer and not good at clearing psoriasis. And so whereas psoriasis that Ruth is having, it sounds like, it's called narrow-band UVB, where it's specifically designed to clear psoriasis. And some people will get a tan afterwards, but it's not a sunbed. And sunbeds have and sunbeds have no therapeutic role in skin disease, and we would argue really have no role at all, apart from increasing people's risk of getting skin cancer.
And Brian, when I started looking into this, thinking, oh my God, this needs more attention now, I started Googling, could I do this light therapy myself at home? And obviously this hasn't been sold online because it's medical grade equipment. But suddenly I was seeing all these ads popping up for sunbeds.
Really?
Yeah. And that's tricky because you could understand somebody would go, oh, well, yeah, that must be the same thing. I'll make my appointment.
Very much so. Yeah, but that just shows you the sort of the caution you need to exercise when you look up anything medical online, that people will be selling you stuff that not necessarily will work or safe.
I do find, though, that that coal tar stuff in my scalp works quite well. And I don't know, is that something that you would still suggest people do? You put in this disgusting smelling liquid. My husband says it reminds him of the smell of the New York subway.
Right.
But then I wash
I
wash it out the next day with a Nizoral sort of shampoo.
Oh, there's a shampoo,
And it helps to clear it. Is that something that is still, I'm totally using you now as my consultant.
Your guidance, Brian.
No, but coal tar ointment or coal tar solutions are very effective. But as you've just rightfully outlined, they're pretty antisocial. So you might use it at nighttime in the privacy of your own home, but it's not something you'll put on and go out and have dinner with people.
Yeah,
cold tar, it does work very well. But it is messy and it is, as I said, antisocial, but it can be very effective.
Yeah. Are there other myths like that, you know, worth dispelling, Brian, today around psoriasis? Because I suppose the two that Ruth mentioned are two that we do hear quite commonly.
Oh, yeah, they are. And again, I think it's just it's part of our culture, really, that you know, particularly diet, that any of our diseases that we get, if anything happens to, that this may be diet-related. And I think it's a reasonable, you know, it's a reasonable supposition. But unfortunately, with psoriasis, it doesn't help by changing your diet too much. Sunbeds don't help. They may help a little bit, but not enough. And clearly, the risks of skin cancer are
far
significant
away,
with sunbeds,
yeah.
And don't outweigh it. Natural sunshine can help, and because natural sunshine has UVB in it, which is the bit that works for psoriasis, in contrast to sunbeds, which are UVA. Gentle sunshine can help.
Okay.
Topical creams such as Coal Tar can help, but there's a significant proportion of people who don't respond to these. And therefore, they need either ultraviolet light or medications for their skin. And that's the 20% I'm talking about who've really got quite bad disease. And therefore, we now look at it that if people aren't responding adequately to topical treatment creams such as Coal Tar lotion or steroid creams, that UVB or medications should be considered.
Can I ask you then, Brian, about something that I'm now starting to see, probably because of my Googling, psoriatic arthritis. Is this something that people who have psoriasis should consign themselves to, the fact that, oh, well, this is obviously going to happen later? Or what is the correlation?
It's an excellent question. About 1 in 3 people with psoriasis will develop psoriatic arthritis in their lifetime. So their lifetimes are pretty long. Mm. And the about 1 in 3 will get psoriatic arthritis. And therefore, it is something when you see your GP or dermatologist, and if you are getting aches and pains in your joints, that you should discuss with them. And it's certainly part of our job to try and detect psoriatic arthritis early in people. There is a suggestion that some of the modern treatments that we're using, they're called biologics, may actually prevent people from getting psoriatic arthritis. But these are ongoing studies.
Yeah.
And there are ongoing studies in UCD, of which I'm part of, but it's called the Hippocrates study, which is trying to assess those people with psoriasis who are at higher risk, and therefore seeing if we can intervene earlier to help prevent it. Well, so if somebody's interested in that, they've got psoriasis, if they type Hippocrates into Google, they'll find that study in UCD.
They'll get that UCD study. Yeah, text coming in here too from somebody who's been diagnosed with psoriasis for the very first time at 46. Somebody else talking as well about their 18-year-old son. And as this listener says, it's horrible. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. I can imagine, Ruth, you know, when you're getting this at 15, right at that sort of teenage years.
Yeah. It's and having to wear a school uniform where you had to wear a skirt.
A skirt, yeah, back then. I know. No, look, it's great that you come in today to chat to us about it and to highlight it, and even just to hear some of the advice as well from Brian Kirby, because I can see from the messages coming in, there's like a lot of people tuned in today that are dealing with psoriasis on a daily basis as well. Ruth, thanks a million.
Very welcome.
As always, yeah, for joining us on the programme. Wedding celebrant and broadcaster Ruth Scott. And Brian, my thanks to you too. Brian Kirby, as I said, consultant dermatologist at St Vincent's University Hospital in Dublin.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk.